Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Brandon Flowers, welcome to Absolute Radio Country. I mean, you have done probably millions of interviews, but country radio now welcoming you in with open arms.
Yeah, this is the first. Yeah, this is my first.
Is this your first country?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go gentle on you.
Okay, thanks.
I've got a Dolly Parton super quiz. Let's go.
Oh no.
This is exciting because, well, for a few reasons. A, country music has just never been bigger than it is at the moment, certainly in the UK. More and more people are discovering that there's something in country music for them. And then people like yourself, who are so well-versed across the musical landscape, also showing your love for country music. I'm assuming, although it would be fine if it was, that your love of country music isn't something new.
It isn't. It's been a little bit of a secret.
Well, like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I felt guilty when I was younger.
Yeah. Well, we all felt guilty when we were younger.
We talk about it in terms of like choosing sides. Mm-hmm. When I fell in love with music, I was in this really rural town in Utah.
Right.
And so I was just surrounded by country music, mm-hmm. but I also was what I chose was Britpop. And right. New wave. That was what I chose, but there was this nagging side of me that was like I understand why people like that stuff, and I get it, and I like the storytelling, and that was my father's music.
Right. Okay. So I think that's a common theme though, because certainly certain generations it wasn't cool to like country music, even if it was everywhere. I mean, growing up in Tennessee, of course, country music was a part of the world, but it wasn't cool to necessarily like it. It was just part of the landscape
right.
that we were all listening to.
Right.
So you were secretly twanging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was everywhere in that town, in that
right,
place.
Yeah.
And so if school dances and, you know, it was everywhere.
Yeah. It's just part of the DNA across America and becoming more so around the world. Well, the reason we're talking about this is that there's a new album called Thrasher. It's coming out at the end of August. And, I mean, it's fair to say it's all country, right? You've gone country.
It's pretty full on. Some of it might be come off as more Americana, I guess.
Sure.
But
that's a loosey-goosey. Americana,
right,
which we love.
Yeah.
It embraces all
right.
sorts of things.
It's adjacent.
Because I think even arguably some of your previous solo stuff, and maybe even some kind of deep cuts from The Killers, could also, in the broad scheme of Americana, be in that genre.
For sure. Yeah, and there have been little hints along the way that
music. That is coming.
Yeah, that I just can't help, but make their way into Killers music sometimes.
So the single that we've been listening to, Plans, is the first release from it. But I've been listening to a little sneaky peek of the rest of the album. And it is so, there's so many different styles of country that I feel like are represented on there. And so I'm wondering, when you were doing this, what was inspiring you to, because I hear, like in some of them, I hear some Dolly Parton inspiration. There's a little bit of like Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. There's some songs that are referenced mm-hmm. in there, and I don't know if that's subconscious or if it's me just as a country guy being like, aha.
Yeah. None of it was necessarily intentional, but I think some of that stuff is just unavoidable.
I think so too.
Yeah, and so there's a little. I hear a little Christofferson in there,
sure.
and Dan Waylon Jennings, and yeah, and but just that. You know, that the fabric of country music and the stuff that I've absorbed, and it's kind of my other education. I look at it, you know, that the music that I got from my father, yeah, I was surprised at how well it just, I was able, my stories that I was, you know, carrying around, just they just settled right into to this world.
Yeah, it makes sense that you come from a small town, and then on this album, I really feel like you kind of even if you didn't grow up on a small town, it feels like a journey into one on some of the songs.
Oh, that's yeah, well, that's funny because this is it was based off our the last Killers record was called Pressure Machine, and every song took place in one town in that town that I grew up in, and I it was the best time of my life, of the most fulfilling creative time of my life, writing that record, and I just didn't want to leave. And so I just kept kind of, I stayed there with the writing. And so you're picking up on that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great because one of the things about country music that so many people connect to is its storytelling. And there's some real great storytelling on this album where, I mean, I grew up in a small town as well, but I think even if I, you know, my small town different than your small town, there are, of course, kind of universal themes across small towns. But one of the things that I love about country music is that it can be super specific to you as a writer or as a performer, and it can still connect on some level to somebody halfway around the world who had a totally different experience.
Yeah, that's been a profound thing for me to realize as a writer, as I've gotten older. It's just like, so I can get specific, you know, and I can, and that isn't going to all the sudden just be polarizing or put up a wall for some people. You're almost welcoming them into this memory of yours or this experience of yours, and they can almost relive it for themselves.
Yeah, and in some ways it becomes either the opposite side of that, I suppose, is that it can become really escapist for people as well and help them kind of just forget about their moment for 3 minutes on a song or something, which is always... It's always nice to have a little 3 minutes away from your life. So you recorded this at RCA Studio A in Nashville, which is a legendary studio. I've been there kind of when Dave Cobb was doing some recording kind of as a guest, and even just kind of as a fly on the wall, literally hugging the wall to not be in anybody's way, even though it's a vast space, you can feel kind of the bones of that place. Because this is a place where Dolly Parton, you know, and Jolene and I Will Always Love You and so many other kind of iconic songs. And since then, Chris Stapleton and loads of other artists have recorded. So as a visitor, I felt it in my bones, like the history of that place. So as a as somebody who's recording there and making music there, does it have an impact on kind of what you're doing?
I think so. It's an important room. It really is. And it's maybe it's the best live room I've ever been in. And there's a reason why it is what it is. But the history is so special. And you go in and the team that we assembled, you know, they're very familiar with the room, and they had recorded some of these classics in that room because we kind of run the gamut. It's like there's a guy that was 85, there's all the way down to guys that were, you know, 30, and so there it was a really great experience. But yeah, you can't help but like there's just the buzz, and there's something that you can sense when you're in there.
Yeah, I think just the floorboards themselves, you know, there's something about knowing that you're standing somewhere that. You know, a lot of people talk about stepping into the circle at the Opry. Have you ever been to the Opry?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We actually had, the Killers played once and Brad Paisley came out for the encore.
Oh, wow, okay.
And you know, and I didn't know how, I didn't know how he was revered and I don't know how people were going to take,
I don't know.
He's a Killers fan and we know he's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
So we have a song called From Here On Out from 2012 record we made called Battleborn, and it's country leaning a little bit, like Fleetwood Mac doing country or something like that.
Yeah,
and he came out, and first of all, he just killed. But when I introduced him, that place just lit up, man. They love him.
Yeah, revered.
And he's so cool. Yeah, he was great.
But you know, everybody talks about stepping into the circle on the Opry stage, which is a bit of the floorboard from the original Opry that they've moved there, and the feeling that they get, and certainly as a country artist, kind of, or even a fan, if you're on tour and you get to do that, what it means to them.
There's a similar thing. It's funny, in Las Vegas, we have a similar thing with Elvis.
Okay.
So, you know, we played, I still call it the Hilton, but when he was there, it was the Continental, and now it's called Westgate, which is the worst. Sorry, but it's just—it's so unromantic. It's just ugly. Westgate.
It does. It sounds like somewhere you need to get to catch a flight.
So he played, and I know he didn't necessarily have the greatest time in Las Vegas. He was stuck inside all the time, and he's the most famous person in the world. And whatever, it's hot as hell.
Tin foil on the window.
But he does, he does however many shows. And he had a spot that, this is so cool, because Vegas is renowned for tearing things down.
Yeah, always.
And rebuilding. And there's something cool about that, but. This is so neat to me. They put a new stage in because it was an old stage,
right?
And they saved a circle on the right backstage where he would pray before he walked out on stage and stand his moment, his like little moment of solitude before he would enter.
Right.
And they cut it out and built the stage around it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's like, oh, I get the chills thinking about it. It's like one of the only, like one of the cool things that we've preserved in Las Vegas.
Yeah, because there is not a lot of history still remaining in Vegas. Yeah, that's amazing. I haven't heard about that.
So I've tried my hardest to purchase
that
wood.
And they won't
budge. Nobody will budge. I'm gonna keep trying.
They're holding
now
out.
Some like crazy Elvis fanatic's gonna like
get what it. Would you do with it?
I don't know. I know he wasn't Jesus, but he was a spiritual guy. I love that.
He was Jesus for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I like that he walked that line, and I like that he always held on to his beliefs even through all of that.
So are you a huge Elvis fan?
I'm not a huge Elvis fan. I'm a glorified Elvis impersonator. That's how I see myself. I mean, anybody that ever grabs a microphone, you know, that you've got to have him in there somewhere.
Yeah. Have you been to Graceland?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've taken my kids, and we've been on that when we're on tour. And
yeah, my brother's ex-wife was obsessed with Elvis, but she loved all of the really tacky kind of merch stuff, which everybody did. It's kind of part of it, right? And of course, we've got the song Black Velvet and all that, and those paintings. But her prized possession was on a shelf in the living room, amongst all of like an Elvis clock and all the rest of it. Was an unopened bottle of Love Me Tender shampoo.
Oh, wow.
And conditioner. She had both.
My Aunt Diane had an Elvis room.
Did she? A whole room?
A whole room.
Did she love all stages of Elvis?
Yeah.
Which is great, actually, because I think it's fair to say there was a drastic change in kind of his music and him as a personality throughout his life. But people who are diehard Elvis fans, they love every single
It's not like, oh, I just love the early stuff.
It's hear that. Like the jumpsuits as
well.
Right,
because there are people that are like early Beatles, and then when they get psychedelic, they're out.
Yeah, exactly.
But Elvis, you're with it. You're in it for the long haul.
It's interesting, Elvis, you know, because for some reason, and I've never quite been able to put my finger on this, even though I know that in the rock world, obviously, he's revered and all of that, he's never really gotten the credit he deserves in the country world, Elvis.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that he was, because he has so many, you know, he's so...
Well, he called himself a country artist for a long time, and I think I'm right in saying that he played the Grand Ole Opry once, and the reception, or... I don't think it was from the fans, but maybe from the industry around it, was a bit dismissive about it, and he never played it again. And so even on, you just don't really hear Elvis songs played in country.
I think of him as a country artist a lot of times.
But you go to Nashville, there's no kind of like Elvis honky tonk or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he's somehow... Because there are artists that supersede their genre, and people forget that maybe they started out country, like Eagles or Bellamy Brothers or something like that. Like, they become so big that people forget they were country.
Yeah.
But Elvis just seems to have been completely, like, let go of.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a shame, really. I wonder if he wanted to be accepted in the country world.
I think, yeah. Well, doesn't everybody?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Did you see the Baz Luhrmann film?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. It was they actually asked me to try out for that part before it made in the early days. And I've always been adamant that to never try to act. It seems too difficult.
So did you
and
not
that
even
kid,
try?
Whoever,
out?
What is that guy's name?
Austin Butler.
He did amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm not as handsome as him, but he did a great job.
He did do a great job.
I'm romantic about Las Vegas. I love, you know, so
right,
there's that side of it. And I thought it was great. My kids liked it.
So you didn't even try out for it?
No, I didn't even go.
Was there not a moment, though, in like your
bathroom? I might have gone in the mirror. Yeah.
Giving it a bit of the lip
just
curl.
One night, one or two nights.
So are you, in terms of your country music influences, you said it was your dad that kind of did all this. What were you listening to when he was playing it?
When his music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some of the stuff that I chose today was from him. John Conley is a big one for him.
Okay.
And just like the classics, Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash and that big stuff, yeah.
And what about now? Are you listening to anybody
a new country? I mean, I don't know if you consider him country. You know, I'm obviously a fan of the writers like Jason Isbell. And,
oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and people like that.
Yeah.
And Zach Bryan has some great
stuff.
Of course.
It's interesting, though, that those are the ones you list, because there's this big old country umbrella, and there's, I always say there's something in it for everybody. When when people are like, oh, I don't like country, I'm like, well, what do you mean? What type of country don't you like? Because it's like saying I don't like rock and roll. Well, which type of rock don't you like? But like Tyler Childers and Zach Bryan and Jason Isbell, they all kind of on the more kind of rootsy Americana
side. That stuff, that I guess I used to gravitate towards some of that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So we've been playing Plans from Thrasher. Like, what is something that really... I mean, obviously, you love them all. It's your album.
Yeah.
But talking about kind of influences and things like that, what's something that
you like?
I feel
like the truest just country song on the record is probably Does It Ever Cross Your Mind?
Well, that what a great way to start the album, you know, because that's track number one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you put it on and you instantly are like, okay, I know where we're going. And it's, is that in any way, because it made me think of, maybe just from the title of it, Dolly Parton's song, Do I Ever Cross Your Mind?
I wasn't thinking of that one.
Well, isn't that great though? Yeah. Because you're so kind of in the zone that you're drawing out old school deep cuts without even knowing it.
That's funny.
There's a great version. If you don't know it, have a listen. She does a version with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris.
Oh, nice.
And it is glorious. We're talking to Brandon Flowers, who has a new album called Thrasher coming out in August, and he's gone country. Is there anybody in the country world that you would like to duet with?
I haven't thought about it too much.
Do you like a duet?
I don't love a duet.
Okay,
I'll tell you why. I think that's why. I think I'm reluctant to duet.
Okay, well, fair enough.
If I write a song that I'm proud of...
That's a headline. Brandon Flowers, reluctant to duet.
Yeah, well, if you write a song that you're proud of, and then they don't call them duets so much anymore. It's more like a what would you call it in the industry, in the biz?
A collaboration.
Yeah, or like a...
Featured.
Featured, yes.
There's something about that makes me recoil.
Right, okay.
Like, I don't want you to feature on this thing that I wrote.
Right, I got it.
And I don't know that I want to feature on something that you wrote.
Fair enough.
Yeah, anyway.
Have you ever?
But there's been great duets, you know.
Yeah, and country loves a duet.
Yeah. No, I like the love song. You know, I love like those kind of duets. You know.
Yeah. Have you ever written a song and just thought this would sound so good for X insert name? Not that it's necessarily happened, but you've been on kind of.
A couple that you know. I do like. I like Zach Top too.
Yeah.
It's unavoidable. You can't deny some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple that I've liked that he would probably kill this. He would be great on this.
And have you ever kind of put them out and go on?
No, not really. But I do have one that would be a great song.
Is it on this album or is it sitting somewhere? So do you have a store of country songs somewhere?
Yeah, well, I opened up this door and it's I just have been kind of throwing myself into this room. And so so I have another record. We recorded two records in 3 weeks when we were there, and then I have another one cooking.
Okay, so we have more country albums on the way.
Yeah.
Already, great. And would you feel comfortable in, obviously, you know, the Killers, you've played some of the biggest places in the world, around the world, multiple times, and you've got your kind of, I would imagine, like comfort and security, like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a new genre, or that people perceive as a new genre for you, like, do you want to play country festivals? Do you want to kind of get stuck into that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's in the cards, but it's. I just know all I can go off on right now is just how at home I felt recording, you know, these songs.
Yeah,
and they felt like these songs just felt like they are existed forever when we were recording them, and I don't know if it was just the familiarity with the way that the band were playing and the things, you know, hearing that music and being immersed in it. But I really had so much fun.
And also, it's just fun to tell people a story and take them on a journey.
Yeah.
I would think as well. Thanks, Brandon Flowers. I could talk to you forever about country music, but you know, you've got stuff to do. You're busy.
It's all right. Thanks.
The album is called Thrasher. It's out on the 21st of August. Let's let you go with a new one from it. So
another new one?
Yeah.
I would do Paradise.
Okay. Tell us about Paradise.
Paradise is about an aging valet Parker in Las Vegas.
Again, Vegas.
Yeah, so this is the only Las Vegas one. Yeah. And that was my plan in life was to work on the Strip. You know, that was my goal.
As a performer?
No, as a bellman or as a valet.
Oh, part. You just wanted to be there?
Yeah, but my uncles and my cousins raised, you know, their families and supported themselves with those jobs.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the life, it's the lifeblood of Las Vegas when I was growing up. And that was, mm-hmm. it was so exciting to think of like working at the nice, you know, I wanted it to be at, you know, the Bellagio or
sure,
the Wynn.
The nice one.
Or the Wynn.
Yeah. and not Circus Circus.
Yeah. So anyway, I have a cousin that's been doing it for 30 years that this is pretty much his story. It's just a fun story about him at work. Yeah.
Brendan Flowers, thank you so much.
Thanks.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.